You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Tuesday, February 21st, 2023. Man in the Mirror. Oilfield service results, projections reflect E&P spending patterns. Published by Tom Bureaucry. Punxsutawney Phil presaged six more weeks of winter when he saw his shadow on February 2nd, the famous Groundhog's annual attempt to predict the arrival of spring that garners national headlines, despite his dismal 39% success rate over the last 150 years. Although we haven't turned to rotund rodents, we spend a lot of time exploring ways to predict energy industry trends. A far more reliable way to gain early insights into E&P spending and production patterns is by analyzing the year-end results and forecasts issued by the major oilfield services firms, which release their year-end reports well before E&Ps typically do. In today's RBN blog, we review the data and insights from the reports and conference calls of the major firms that are in constant communication with the major oil and gas producers. As we most recently reviewed in Cruisin, our blog on Q3 2022 E&P results, the combination of disciplined spending and soaring commodity prices have resulted in record profits that surpassed levels in 2014, when oil prices topped $100 per barrel. But the recovery for oilfield services firms, whose revenue depends on the level of E&P capital spending rather than commodity prices, has been far slower and rockier. Revenue for Halliburton, SLB Incorporated, formerly Schlumberger, and NOV Incorporated, formerly National Oil Well Varco, three major services firms with significant exposure to U.S. E&P exploration and development, plummeted as capital expenditures by the E&Ps we monitor fell from $133 billion in 2014 to $39 billion in 2016, recovered with rising investment through 2018, then plunged again with the onset of the pandemic in 2020. The impact on the equity valuations of oilfield equipment and services companies was dramatic, as the S&P index for these stocks cratered from approximately 4,900 at the peak in 2014 to just over 200 in March 2020, an astonishing 96% decline. That's steeper than the 85% drop in the S&P E&P index. A tidal wave of red ink engulfed the oilfield services industry, bankrupting dozens of providers and stressing the balance sheets of the stronger companies that weathered the storm. For example, Halliburton, SLB and NOV reported net losses totaling more than $30 billion in 2019 to 2020 as they rationalized operations and slashed overhead to become leaner and more responsive to the needs of the oil and gas producers they serve. That leaner build is why the top providers were positioned to quickly benefit from the post-pandemic surge in commodity prices. Because of a 38% increase in 2022 U.S. E&P capital expenditures to $55 billion and reawakened drilling and completion activity in international markets, the combined EBITDA for Halliburton, market cap $36 billion, SLB, $81 billion, and NOV, $9 billion, reached $10 billion, the second highest level since 2014. We'll take a look at what drove the recent recovery to date. We'll also review these companies' projections of trends and activity for 2023. Halliburton, which provides a full suite of products and services through its completion and production and drilling and evaluation segments, reported a 33% increase in 2022 revenue to $20.2 billion, 47% of which was generated in North America. The results were driven by a 51% increase in North American revenue driven by activity and pricing gains. The company, which estimates that it touches one out of every three wells drilled in the U.S., said that a 50% increase in upstream capital spending, up from the depressed levels of 2021, as well as a 30% increase in drilling activity yielded a 5% production gain as producers began rebuilding depleted drilled but uncompleted, or DUC, well inventories and battled inflation. The strong growth in North America and a 20% boost in international revenue generated 39% EBITDA growth to $2.9 billion and $1.4 billion in free cash flow, which allowed the company to repay $1.2 billion in debt and boost its dividend by 33%. In its year-end conference call, Halliburton was optimistic about North American growth in 2023. "Look, North America, in my view, will surprise to the upside," CEO Jeff Miller said. "Our outlook is for north of 15% growth. I don't have any clients that plan to get smaller. They all plan to grow. The more you grow, the more the market has to work to maintain the growth, given decline rates. So I expect to see service intensity throughout 2023 and likely beyond. The company said its completions calendar was completely booked for a year out and pricing was improving along all product service lines. Miller further said that looking forward 10 years, I'm very confident in what technology will do to boost productivity and unlock access to significant new oil resources. Halliburton also projected international activity would grow at least in the mid-teens, with the largest increases coming from the Middle East and Latin America. After what it refers to as the underinvestment that we've seen over the last 8 years, it expects growth in offshore activity, which currently represents 40% of its international revenue, with the emphasis on development activity as opposed to exploration that has been seen in previous cycles. Because of the time it takes to ramp up international projects, growth is expected to accelerate into 2024 and beyond. SLB, the world's largest oilfield services firm, reported a 23% increase in 2022 revenue to $28.1 billion from four divisions: digital and integration, reservoir performance, well construction, and production systems. EBITDA grew 29% to $6.3 billion and net income nearly doubled to $3.49 billion. Growth was led by a doubling of pre-tax operating income and a 600 basis point boost to its North American revenue, which represents 21% of total company revenue. International markets, which began to expand in the second half of the year, generated 20% revenue growth and a 150 basis point margin expansion. As a result, the company increased its dividend by 40% in April 2022 and by another 43% in January 2023. Looking forward, SLB forecasts continued but more moderate growth in North America, which it says has been a fantastic success in the last 18-24 months. As 2023 unfolds, the company sees increased drilling to rebuild the DUC inventory through late summer before a plateauing or moderation of growth late in the year. It expects capital spending growth in the high teens to build well inventory and support target production increases, with particularly higher investment in the offshore Gulf of Mexico. SLB is guiding to 20% growth in North American profits from offshore strength, land drilling activity, and higher pricing. While private companies have been the most aggressive post-pandemic drillers, SLB expects the major integrated majors and large public E&Ps to drive the growth this year. The public companies have been increasingly willing to pay a premium for technology that has made a performance impact, differentiation that will generate higher production and margins going forward in the North American land and offshore market. SLB expects even stronger growth in the international market, particularly offshore. I think what is changing this year is that the shallow water environment was leading the growth to a large extent in the early part of this offshore cycle expansion, CEO Olivier Lepeu said. Deepwater will be the highest operating environment activity growth in 2023, and as part of it, exploration appraisal will be also outpacing and slowly rebounding. Offshore FID for 2023 is set to be the high since 2012-2013, indicating that there is a pipeline of subsea activity in the horizon. The company cited the long-term bullish outlook for oil as the driver for funding major new exploration and development projects. NNOV reported a 31% increase in 2022 revenue to $7.2 billion from its three major segments: Wellbore Technologies, Completion and Production Solutions, and Rig Technologies. The company, which was significantly impacted by the reduction in drilling and completion activity during the pandemic, moved into the black, generating $160 million in net income after 7 years of net losses. North America drove most of the growth in 2022 but slowed in the fourth quarter. International markets generated 14% sequential revenue growth in the last quarter, compared with just 4% in North America. Of the three oilfield services firms we're reviewing, NOV is the most cautious about North American growth in 2023. The company expects a mid-teens increase in year-over-year E&P capital investment, but thinks that level will keep activity flat because of inflationary pressures. The major issue NOV highlights is crew availability, citing oilfield wage increases of 20% to 50% in West Texas and North Dakota. New hires are hard to find and new employees are less safe and less efficient. NOV also referenced higher steel costs and constraints in the capital markets. However, the company is projecting an increase in its North American revenue and margins, driven by higher pricing. NOV has a much more bullish outlook for international markets, particularly offshore. It points out that the industry has scrapped 386 offshore drilling rigs since 2011, with most offshore contractors going through bankruptcies. NOV CEO Clay Williams sees dramatically increased demand to restart long-idled offshore drilling assets, driven by rising development activity in Brazil and West Africa, new basin development in Guyana, shallow water activity in Mexico, the Arabian Gulf and India, brownfield tiebacks in the Gulf of Mexico and the North Sea, and promising exploration areas emerging in Namibia, Suriname, and the Eastern Mediterranean. Financing for the refurbishment will be provided by National Oil Companies Integrated Majors and Eastern Hemisphere Sovereign Wealth Funds. Long-term, NOV said that it is bullish on all basins in all areas, including North America, driven by a serious global structural shortfall in production. Up next, we will review the actual 2023 capital expenditure budgets of our universe of 44 U.S. E&Ps when all the 2022 results calls have been completed to measure the actual increases versus the projections we just mentioned. We will also review the quarterly results of the major oilfield services firms to monitor any changes in trends as the year unfolds. Man in the Mirror was written by Glenn Ballard and Syeda Garrett and appears as the second song on side 2 of Michael Jackson's 7th studio album, Bad. Released as a single in February 1988, it went to number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart and has been certified 3X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIA. Personnel on the record were Michael Jackson lead, backing vocals, Syeda Garrett, The Winans, Andre Crouch Choir, backing vocals, Glenn Ballard, drum programming, Ollie E. Brown, claps, cymbals, Dan Huff, guitar, Greg Fillinganes, piano, and Glenn Ballard, Randy Kerber, synthesizers. Bad was recorded between January 1985 and July 1987 at Westlake in Los Angeles, with Quincy Jones and Michael Jackson producing. Released in August 1987, it went to number 1 on the Billboard 200 albums chart and has been certified 11X Platinum by the RIA and has sold more than 35 million copies worldwide. It won a Grammy Award for Best Engineered Recording at the Grammy Awards in 1989. Ironically, Weird Al Yankovic's parody of Bad Fat won a Grammy Award for Best Concept Video at the same Grammy Awards. 9 singles were released from the LP. Michael Jackson was an American singer, songwriter, and dancer. Known as the King of Pop, his 4-decade career made him a global figure in pop culture. He made his professional debut in 1964 as a member of the Jackson 5. With the Jackson 5, he released 16 studio albums, 3 live albums, 2 soundtrack albums, 15 compilation albums, and 40 singles. As a solo artist, he released 10 studio albums, 1 live album, 3 soundtrack albums, 39 compilation albums, and 67 singles. He won 13 Grammy Awards, including a Grammy Legend Award and a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. He is a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Jackson 5 and as a solo artist, and also the Vocal Group Hall of Fame as a member of the Jackson 5 and as a solo artist. Jackson is also a member of the Songwriters Hall of Fame and Dance Hall of Fame. He has 2 stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, one as a member of the Jackson 5, and another as a solo artist. The RIA regards Jackson as the biggest selling music artist of all time. Jackson died in Los Angeles in June 2009.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.